What transforms a heart hardened by unspeakable trauma? Can someone who's been used, abused, and discarded ever truly believe they're worthy of love? These aren't abstract theological questions. They're the lived reality of countless people walking among us, carrying invisible scars from childhood wounds that never properly healed. Redeeming love doesn't offer easy answers or spiritual platitudes. Instead, it presents us with Angel, a woman whose very name mocks what she's become, and Michael, a farmer whose inexplicable calling to love her defies all logic. Their story mirrors the biblical prophet Hosea, commanded by God to marry a prostitute, a narrative so scandalous it still makes religious readers uncomfortable. Yet within this uncomfortable pairing lies a profound truth. Sometimes love must pursue us into our darkest places before we can believe we deserve it. 8-year-old Sarah's descent into hell begins with a carriage ride. Her mother sends her away with the cruel Cleo, and during one terrifying night at the Four Winds Inn, Sarah huddles in a dark corridor while Cleo entertains a man named Merrick, a man who threatens to feed the child to crabs if she makes a sound. This isn't merely backstory, it's the foundation of everything Angel will become. When Sarah's mother dies and her uncle Rub, drowning in grief and whiskey, takes her to an elegant house for adoption, Sarah witnesses his murder by strangulation. The cold-eyed gentleman who ordered the killing washes the rouge from her face, renames her Angel, and initiates her into a life of exploitation before she reaches adolescence. By 18, Angel stands in a California mining camp brothel called The Palace, the most sought-after prostitute in Gold Country, having perfected the art of emotional detachment. When farmer Michael Hosea first sees Angel, he experiences an inexplicable certainty. God intends for him to marry this woman. Learning she's a prostitute doesn't deter him. He appears at her door, not as a customer, but to talk. Night after night, he returns, paying for time he doesn't use sexually, painting word pictures of freedom that resurrect childhood hungers she thought buried. When Angel tries to seduce him and he pulls away, calling on Jesus for strength, she realizes with shock he's been saving himself for the right one. Her mocking response, "Poor dumb fool," masks her confusion at encountering a man who values something beyond immediate gratification. When Angel insults the Duchess, McGowan savagely beats her. Trapped, she provokes the violence, choosing death over continued exploitation. Meanwhile, Michael experiences visions of Angel in flames. He returns to find her barely alive and declares he's taking her, insisting on marrying her before they leave. When Angel awakens after 3 days of fever, she discovers she's now Michael's wife, married while unconscious. Michael refuses to call her Angel, insisting on Mara, a biblical name meaning bitter, because her prostitute identity doesn't exist anymore. This renaming represents his attempt to give her a new identity, though Angel resents his presumption. As Angel regains strength, Michael teaches her practical skills, cooking, gardening, distinguishing weeds from crops. For someone whose only currency has been her body, this education represents a profound shift. When frustration erupts, she offers sex. Michael refuses. It doesn't feel good to be used, whatever the reason. This honesty cracks her defenses. He reveals he knew from first sight he would marry her, comparing himself to the biblical prophet Hosea, commanded to marry a prostitute who repeatedly returned to her old life. Michael's patient teaching respects Angel's personhood rather than her beauty. Each skill challenges her self-perception as worthless except as an object. Yet she resists his kindness with cynicism, convinced his dream will collide with reality. Michael offers a revealing metaphor. A woman is either a wall or a door. Angel bitterly replies she's a door 1,000 men have walked through. But Michael counters she's actually a wall, 4 feet thick and 100 feet high, he cannot climb alone. This insight reveals the truth. Angel has built impenetrable defenses against love, and Michael's kindness slowly plants vines that begin cracking her resistance. When the Altman family arrives, John, Elizabeth, their teenage daughter Miriam, and young Ruth, Angel observes healthy family dynamics for the first time. Little Ruth snuggling against her triggers, horrific memories of Duke forcing an abortion, leaving Angel staring into the fire in despair, especially when Michael whispers about having a child like Ruth someday, unaware of her barrenness. Elizabeth makes Angel beautiful clothes and embroiders undergarments as gifts. When Angel rejects them, Miriam confronts her. She made them because she loves you, like one of her own children. This concept, being loved simply for existing, remains foreign to Angel. When Elizabeth asks Angel to serve as midwife, Angel reluctantly agrees. Helping deliver a healthy baby boy fills her with profound wonder, but highlights what she can never have. Spring arrives, and Angel makes her painful decision. Seeing Michael's desire for children and knowing she cannot fulfill that dream, she resolves to leave. For their last night together, she creates a romantic evening on their hilltop, dancing for him in moonlight. Michael senses her goodbye and clings desperately, hearing God's voice urging him to let her go. The next morning, Michael leaves for town with a knowing farewell. Angel prepares to leave but is interrupted by Miriam. Michael had sent her, knowing Angel's plan. Despite Miriam's desperate pleas, Angel remains resolute. At the stagecoach, she returns Michael's mother's wedding ring to a distraught Miriam, telling her to love Michael and give him the children she cannot. Angel's departure marks her first selfless act. Unlike previous escapes driven by fear, this sacrifice stems from love, believing Michael deserves a wife who can bear children. The irony cuts deep. In finally learning to love unselfishly, she makes the choice that causes the greatest pain. Working as a cook under the name Mrs. Hosea, Angel attempts honest work until Duke discovers her. Their confrontation reveals her transformation. "You owned me. Michael loved me. You always thought you owned my soul. Michael showed me no one does." Duke threatens Michael's life, forcing her compliance. After the Axel family rescues her, Angel begins attending church. Each Sunday, she feels drawn to the altar call until Susanna takes her hand. "I'll walk with you." As Angel walks forward, she thinks of Michael. "Will you ever know you struck the match and brought light into my darkness?" Meeting Tori, a former prostitute, reveals Angel's purpose. She establishes the House of Magdalena, teaching women viable skills to escape prostitution, transforming her suffering into purpose, her brokenness into a bridge for others seeking freedom. 3 years later, Paul delivers devastating news. Michael has been waiting for her. Angel had believed Michael would marry Miriam, but Paul married her instead. Paul urges her to return. She reveals her final barrier. "I can't have his children, Paul. Never." She returns anyway. As she approaches Michael working in his field, she falls to her knees, washing his boots with her tears and wiping them with her hair in complete surrender. Michael gently lifts her, covers her with his shirt, and welcomes her home. She reveals her true name, Sarah. Michael recognizes the biblical promise, a barren woman who eventually conceived. The epilogue reveals Sarah and Michael's many happy years together. On their 7th anniversary, their prayers are answered with sons Stephen, followed by Luke, Lydia, and Esther. Though their family grows wealthy and prominent, Sarah returns yearly to the Barbary Coast, encouraging young prostitutes to change their lives. After 68 years of marriage, Michael passes away, with Sarah following within a month. An epitaph mysteriously appears on her grave. "Though fallen low, God raised her up, an angel." Sarah's journey reminds us that walls built for protection become prisons. Michael's patient love yielded a harvest beyond imagination, not because he fixed Sarah, but because he loved her into believing she was worth fixing. We don't earn our way into worthiness. We're loved into remembering we were worthy all along.